The Raiders hit the road for Cleveland this week as they'll face off with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Listen Sunday. Kickoff just after 10 a.m. on Raider Nation Radio, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back on this Wednesday, Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. Scott Gulbranson with you, along with my co-host, Q Myers. And we're going to talk about COVID-19, the NFL's response, and the Raiders' piece of that. And Q, one of the reasons I wanted to have our next guest on, Jason Owens, was because I wanted to get like an impartial person who covers the NFL to talk about it, because we hear from fans. Last week, of course, it was COVID week for the Raiders because of the situation with Trent Brown. And then we heard that the Raiders might get penalized very strongly for violating protocols of all sorts. And Raider fans were very much in the mode of, okay, they're treating us differently. What about the Titans and all that kind of stuff? We talked about that. But I wanted to get somebody on who's really covered the issue across the NFL to kind of get their perspective on it. So we bring in now Jason Owens. He covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. Jason, thanks for being with us here on Silver and Black Today.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, so when we look at the league, you know, I think everybody, before the season started, before the Players Association and the league agreed on the rules that would govern the shortened training camp and then, of course, the regular season, we had lots of people who thought that the season would never happen. We thought, lots of people thought it would be a disaster and that there would be positive tests all over the place. Now, there has been spots. There's obviously been players who've tested positive, coaches, staff, the whole thing. We just got a press release on it this morning from the NFL with updated numbers. When you look across the league, though, overall, what's sort of your assessment on how the leagues and the teams overall have done?
Well, I think at the start of the season and through training camp, it was a big surprise how well things went. You know, the NBA had so much success in their bubble, and the NFL took a lot of criticism because, you know, teams, players are going to be traveling from city to city, and that's a big part of how COVID has spread. So, you know, the league went through 3 weeks with no problems, and everything was great. And then the wheels kind of started to fall off. You know, the Titans had their outbreak. They had reported at least 24 players and staff members tested positive. Games were rescheduled. You know, the Patriots had to move their Monday night, their Sunday game, to a Monday night, and the NFL is, you know, they forced to change a lot of schedules. And, you know, it's a big problem for the NFL right now.
Were you surprised that the wheels fell off the way that they fell off? Like, I think everyone expected COVID to hit and some guys go down. But when the wheels fell off, like you mentioned, they really did fall off in a hurry.
I think it's just the reality of COVID. I mean, when you've got players going from one big city to another, you know, this is a disease that doesn't follow any rules. And if you're not playing in a bubble like the NBA, it's inevitable. But the NFL has a lot at stake here. The league is losing potentially billions at the gate in revenue, but it has billions more to protect by putting games on TV. So, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to make sure these games go on.
Yeah, again, we're talking to Jason Owens from Yahoo Sports. He covers the NFL. We're talking about the COVID-19 protocols, the league overall, but also going to talk a little bit about the Raiders. When you look at the situation with the Tennessee Titans and what happened there, and you said it was about 24 players last time we checked, as far as the number that had tested positive and the move of games. So the Raiders then have the situation with Trent Brown, with Damon Arnette, with Trent Brown in particular, though, because what has been alleged is that he took off his tracking device, which was part of the agreed deal with the Players Association and the league. That meant the whole offensive line had to be quarantined. And this isn't the first violation. We've talked a lot about on this show, Jason, about the Raiders. And then Coach Gruden on Monday said, as an organization, quote, "As an organization, we are on the cutting edge of beating the virus." But yet they have been sort of a serial offender. When you look at what the Raiders have done and what they've paid in fines for masks and all this other stuff, what is it that separates them from other teams like the Titans who've had outbreaks?
I think you hit it on the head when you said serial offender. You know, the league looked into what happened in Tennessee, and they reportedly found no major COVID violations. They found some issues with mask wearing around the facilities, and then they were reportedly fined $350,000. But with the Raiders, it's almost at this point a weekly story. You know, week two, Gruden and the Raiders got fined $350,000 because he wasn't wearing his mask properly. And he wasn't the only coach. There were several others throughout the league who got those fines as well. But then there was a report that they allowed a non-credentialed employee into their locker room in the post game, causing another potential exposure risk. And then, you know, Derek Carr and, you know, a bunch of other players showed up at Darren Waller's fundraiser a few weeks ago. And a lot of those guys weren't wearing masks, and you know, they were all there for a good cause, but they were indoors, and they weren't following proper safety protocols. And, you know, now we've got last week offensive line issues. And when you look at John Gruden and his mask issues on the sidelines, and then the very next week he was seen wearing a mask that didn't look like was actually doing any good. It looks like a top-down issue, and it could be a problem moving forward for the Raiders.
What is your thoughts on just the NFL in general, like how far they will actually go? I know we've heard threats. We've heard, you know, draft picks taken away, heard suspension, stuff like that. But as far as you're concerned, how far do you think that they'll really go?
I think that forfeiting a game, that's the biggest threat that they've levied. You know, if a team is found to have violated COVID protocols and it forces the NFL to change the schedule, they've threatened to just hand a team a loss. I think that's a last resort. The NFL doesn't want to do it. But, I mean, if you look at the Raiders, they've already had their bye week. So if they have one or more multiple situations that force schedule changes, it's going to be really hard for the league to fit another game in. They're going to do whatever they can. But my take is if it gets to a point to where the league can't reschedule a game, a forfeiture is that's what they'll lean on. Mm-hmm. And for the league, that's not a desired outcome. But that allows them to still have a full Sunday slate of games to put on TV and to protect those broadcast dollars. If they lose one game here and there, it's not the worst-case scenario.
Interesting. Jason Owens from Yahoo Sports joins us. And, Jason, before we let you go, we heard today about the Super Bowl probably going with about 20% capacity, which the NFL wants to do. People will have to wear masks. Do you think that once we get into the playoffs that the NFL will do some sort of modified bubble to protect those playoff teams?
Reports from the league, I know Sean Payton in New Orleans has pushed this idea, but so far the league has pushed back on it. They've said that they don't anticipate doing a bubble. And I imagine that's a logistical problem. You know, when you have the NBA, you can put three basketball courts on one campus, and you know that works. But where are you going to find three NFL football-ready stadiums for teams to play on? It's a lot harder logistically for the NFL, and I think that's going to prevent them from being able to do so.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question before we let you go. I'm sorry. Speaking of the Super Bowl, and this might be a question you don't know the answer to, but we were talking about at the beginning of the show about Radio Row, how it's a big event every single year leading up to the Super Bowl. Do you have any kind of logistic idea of how the NFL may plan on having a makeshift Radio Row, if at all?
I don't have any insight into that. My worry in general, you know, aside from football, is like January, in February. You know, that's the heart of winter, and,
right.
and the pandemic seems to be hitting a new wave. So I just hope that the NFL makes, you know, responsible decisions that, that make sure that everybody is protected. But as far as, you know, doing all the things that come along with making the Super Bowl a great event, it seems inevitable that we're going to have to drop some of those this season.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. All right, Jason Owens, Yahoo Sports. Thanks for being with us today, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Take care.
All right, Jason Owens from Yahoo Sports.
I'm telling you, man. I'm serious. Like, I'm just looking down the road, and I know that it's only October. It's almost November, but that scene there at Radio Row is just so – I just don't see it. Even if they test every day, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I don't think that it's possible because there's so many people.
Right.
I mean, think about it. If you have a headset on right now, which you don't, you're in front of a mic, but if you had a headset on and you talked to me for 10 minutes and then you put the headset down and walked away and someone else came and put that headset on and talked to her 10 minutes and then walked away and then someone else came and sat down and talked for 10 minutes on the same headset. I mean, that's all these different people using the same headset that's right in their face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't seem like it's possible.
No, and I agree. I don't think it's going to happen. I do think that maybe they'll find some sort of virtual way to get guests to radio stations. There they'll have some sort of Zoom room or something, and we all had Zoom audio issues, so I hope it's not Zoom. I hope it's something more direct from an audio perspective, but we'll have to see. I mean, but it's all going to be different. There's not going to be any parties. There's not going to be any, I mean, the whole
no,
thing.
No, that's fine.
No, but I mean, the whole experience of the Super Bowl just is completely different, including for media, including for fans. All right, we're going on the phone lines here. Jerome's been waiting patiently here in Las Vegas. Jerome, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm such a year Raider fan.
Nice.
Yeah, we have, well, my notice is we have to play a 3-4 defense because the refs very rarely call offensive holding on teams unless it's very obvious. So on a 3-4, outside linebackers are hard to hold because they're not right in front of them. That's what I notice. He should also have to tackle and stay in your lanes. You're not going to want to stop them from catching the ball, but you have to make sure of the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other teams, most of the time, they make most of their scores are run into the catch and not the contact.
Yeah. Yep. Jerome, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. He wants to go to the 3-4 Q.
Oh, I didn't. I honestly couldn't really hear what he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sound a little muffled, a little bit on my end. So 3-4.
Yeah.
If you got the personnel for it, if you feel like you got the personnel and you could run it, you know, I know at one point they were trying to run multiple, but I think right now that their main personnel is 4-3. It's what Gunther's always ran. I don't know if they'd be willing to try to switch it up right now, but I mean, I guess anything's possible. Just to try to fix things up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what changes they do make because you're not making wholesale changes at this point in the season. It's tweaks, the personnel tweaks, some of the play calling and some of the scheming will be different, which will be good, but we'll see if it works. At the same time, you know, Cleveland offensively, their offensive line is good. It's not great. So, you know, if the Raiders do well, that's fine. But then, you know, when they go up against a little more stout offensive line, we'll have to see. But, you know, they got the Browns and the Chargers and then the Broncos at home. So it'll be an interesting 3 weeks. But I agree with everybody when they say that this is sort of a must-win game. It's just you got to get off the schneid a little bit and make sure you turn it around and feel good about yourself coming back before you have to go down to L.A. to play the Chargers. But we'll see how it all goes out. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Q-tip, and we'll take more of your phone calls later. We'll talk to Vinny Bonsignor, get his update from practice today. 702-365-9200 is the way that you get in line and get online. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Back here on Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio on this Wednesday. It almost sounds like they're saying Finny Buttonyar.
I don't know about that.
He's coming up at 3:40 here with us. Talk a little bit about practice table, get his sense. Brian Edwards was back to practice.
That's positive.
That is positive, as was, well, Trent Brown can be back Friday.
Okay.
We learned today as well, so that's good. And before we get to the Q-tip, Q, some name. I want to throw some possible trade names. I know Gruden said that a lot of them that he's seen out there aren't realistic. But there's a couple. One that is probably not realistic, but if the Eagles become sellers, there's two guys there. One a little older, more expensive. The other younger. Brandon Graham. What do you think of Brandon Graham?
I mean, he's a nice player. He's a nice player. I don't think that the Eagles are going to become sellers anytime soon because they're going to be in the playoff hunt probably all season long in that awful division.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, too. That's why I wrote these down, and then I thought to myself, gosh, even Washington, like those teams, literally, you can be in it the whole season, so you can't really mail it in. Or
they have six total wins.
Yes.
In the whole division amongst all four teams, and we're in week 7 of the regular season already.
Right. I think some of those teams might be buyers, including the Cowboys down by you.
No, they're sellers. They're already starting to trade folks off.
Yeah, but I think could you see them maybe getting a quarterback?
No. No, they got a quarterback. He's just out for the season.
Yeah. Well, I know that. But Andy Dalton probably, what, another week? He's going to be out a week with the protocol for the
concussion? I mean, probably, most likely. I mean, that's why they're most likely going to be sellers. They're not going to be buyers. No way.
Okay, gotcha. So they might be one of them. The other guy that I thought was intriguing, because we've talked a lot about the need for a safety, was Marcus May from the Jets.
Yeah, he'd be a good one. He'd be a really good pickup.
And he's on a pretty, if I remember correctly, he's on a pretty friendly guy. He'd be a rental, basically.
It's the last year of his deal, I believe.
Right. So I think you'd have to pick up like $2 or $3 million, and then you're not tied to him. So if he comes in and he plays really well, great. But it gives you time to figure out, well, if he balls out, great. Maybe they try to sign him long term. And if they don't, then they can address that position a different way. But I thought that was May was a more realistic name.
Yeah, he is. I like the young man, Anthony Harris from Minnesota as well, who's on the franchise tag. I think he'd be realistic. You just have to realize you're going to give him a contract deal. But the back end of that defense needs to be shored up. I like Jonathan Abram at that back end. He's proved what he could do. But they also need a compliment to him. If you're not going to move LaMarcus Joyner back there, then you need to move someone else back there.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, it's that time of the day. We turn it over to Q, and he gives us the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
And I give you today's Q-tip, not trying to argue with anybody, not trying to even disagree with anybody, just want to try to bring everything into perspective and just kind of let everyone realize that, like I mentioned a few seconds ago, we're into week 7. Tomorrow we'll kick off week 7 of the regular season. The Raiders are currently 3-3. I know everybody wants to win this game on Sunday against Cleveland, and I am one too. I think that the Raiders should win it. I think these guys should have a sense of pride and go out there and ball out and realize that they left a whole lot on the field last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that they need to be a whole lot better. And, you know, John Gruden and company apparently are going to switch things up. But there's still 10 games that the Raiders have to play this season. So by no means are they out of it. By no means should they just tank and try to look for a draft pick. By no means should anyone give up on the season. Regardless, if the defense doesn't get better at all, then, hey, you look at the offense and say, you know what? Ball, young man, ball. And that's all you do. You tell them just go and score as many points you can, make it a basketball game on grass, and try to do the very best you can because there's way too many games left to get two down on the season. I know the defense is not very good. I know it needs to get a lot better. I know everyone wants to see every week a victory, and it's not going to happen. We all know how that shakes out. But I by no means believe that this week coming up is a must-win game. I believe this is a game we all want to see them win and get back into the win column. You don't want to see them go on a losing streak and lose a couple games in a row, but there's still so many games left to be played that you might be upset this week and you might be happy next week. I mean, it's just one of those things, man. There's a lot of games left.
There is, and the only I don't really even disagree with you. I just think it's a must win because you have to see them start to get things right. I'm not saying they should be perfect. I'm not saying that defense is going to be fixed overnight. And I do agree. I think your offense needs to carry the day. It's going to have to carry the day all year. I mean, the bottom line
most likely
is,
yeah.
The bottom line is, like you said, basketball on grass. You're going to have to score. Right. And we saw yesterday somebody tweet out, look, they've had to score 34 points in each game they've won. Okay. So the Chiefs did it, right?
You mentioned that target. Yesterday.
Yeah. You mentioned it yesterday. The Chiefs won a Super Bowl doing it. I mean, their defense right.
Well,
got better.
The Super Bowl, they won that. Their defense was a little bit better.
It was.
The year before is when they fell just short. They were one offsides away from going to the Super Bowl. But their defense was trash that year.
It was. But they had the offense, and I think that's the difference, as we mentioned yesterday, in the NFL nowadays is, yeah, you need a competent defense. It doesn't have to be Baltimore, okay?
Right.
It doesn't have to be Tampa Bay, actually, right now. They're near the top. But what it has to do is it just has to give you enough, just a bit. Just
give
a
you
little,
a chance.
Just a little nudge, a little push here and there, create a turnover. That's the one thing we haven't really talked about with this Raider defensive issue is just, again, and this is a Raider issue over the last several years, they're just not creating takeaways.
No. They haven't created a bunch of turnovers since 2016.
Right.
That was the year where they created a bunch of turnovers. Ever since then, it's been very few and far in between, and it's a major problem. If your defense isn't going to be one that's going to consistently get off the field, you know, on third and long, you've got to at least create a bunch of turnovers and give your offense shorter fields and give you a puncher's chance. But right now, they're not doing that either. They're just kind of just, well, letting the teams kind of run through them.
No, and that's key to me because, look, sacks, yeah, you got to pressure the quarterback. I'm not belittling that stat or the fact that it's important because it is. But at the same time, you also need to create turnovers. I mean, you look at a guy they're going to line up against, although he's got an ankle injury, so we'll see if he plays. I'm sure he's going to play. But if you look at Myles Garrett, right? Myles Garrett, two sacks and a forced fumble in their win against Cincinnati. It's the sixth consecutive game with a sack. His fourth game this season with a forced fumble. So the guy's
yeah,
not,
well, he's...
Yeah, go ahead.
He's got nine sacks
yes.
on the season alone. The Raiders have seven.
I know. He's got more than the entire team. At the same time, though, he creates turnovers.
Right.
You know, yep. And that's what's incredible about it is you have guys that are doing both. So the Raiders need to focus. I think they go into Cleveland. You got to get a positive out of there. You got to come out of there with positive juju on the defensive side. It's got to show something. It doesn't mean they have to win the game for the team. It just means you got to do something. Okay, we're going to Denver. We're bringing in – oh, he's not there? Oh, Rossi. Rossi in Australia again. Hey, man. You're back with
How
us.
How are we doing?
Good, buddy.
That's good. Just on the trade side, we can talk about defensive changes. We won't actually know anything until Sunday about what it is that Gruden and Gunther are actually really talking about. But from a trade point of view, I just want to get your opinion. Do you think the defensive line needs trades for somebody like a Williams? I heard on the Q-tip and you guys talking about May out of the Jets as well. But I got another name for you. That I've heard, and Xavier Howard out of Miami. Shore up one side of the field, let Mullen look after the other, and then you actually then are moving Joyner back to your point and to your verse this entire week. Yeah, that's what you're paying him for. That's why you got him from the Rams and to play safety, so let him go play safety. That's all I got today.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Rossi from down under again. Thank you.
Was he said Williams. Was he talking about, he was talking about Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams, yes.
I thought he was talking about William Jackson, the corner from Cincinnati, which I was a big fan of when he was coming out of college, out of Houston, as a matter of fact. I thought he was a big-time player. In fact, he is a big-time player. He's a ball hawk. And I do like Xavier Howard. The only thing, and I talked about this on the podcast today, the only thing with Xavier Howard going all the way back to Baylor, had a few issues with the knee. You know, he's been banged up quite a bit throughout his career in the league, but he's a ball hawk, he's a big-time ball hawk. But then if you look at his contract, he's also a guy that's getting paid a ton of money. So if the Raiders are willing to take on that investment, I'd be all for it. But you also have to realize every once in a while, he may come up with a little bit of a gimpy knee.
Yeah, he's only played in 16 games once in his career since 2016 and 2019. Last year, he only played 5 games because of the injury, 12 in 2018. So, yeah. But, you know, I don't know.
He's got a lot of interceptions.
He's got a lot of interceptions. And if his contract...
He's got 4 this year already.
Is his contract up next year? Do you know? I don't know the status.
No. He's got a long contract.
Yeah, so that's...
Big time money.
That's the concern. I think that's what the Raiders want to stay away from is long-term contracts to... older, 2016, but older veterans. Like if it's a young guy like Quinnen Williams, who's only a couple years in,
right.
Different story because you still got a couple years on the rookie contract. Rookie contracts are the most valuable thing there is in the NFL. We're going out to Raider Dave in Denver. Raider Dave, what you got for us today, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Scott and Q? I got a couple things. One of them, I always say, it's not who you play, it's when you play him. We got away with Thomas in New Orleans. Now there's no Beckham. Now Garrett is missing practice because of an ankle. And what do you think the outcome of the last game would have been for the Raiders had we practiced all week with an offensive line and had Abrams?
Good question.
Yeah, right. That is so a good question.
When we go forward and look at this game coming up, who the heck has Cleveland beat?
No.
The Bengals twice, and they barely did that with 3 and 5 points.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think any game on the road, I don't care, is more difficult, I believe, for an NFL team. But I'm with you. I think they win this game, and I'm betting them even because I think they're going to win the game.
Yeah,
you're betting them because you're a degenerate.
No, if you consider a $5 bet a degenerate, I don't know, man.
Every week, that's not enough.
Yeah. Man, I think they're going to go for it here, and I could see a lot of long ball because they don't have good defensive backfield back there.
Yeah, I think they're weak. I mean, they're vulnerable over the top and in the middle too. I think you're going to see a big day by Darren Waller, and I'd love to see Foster Moreau get more involved. He's kind of not been involved and really punish the middle of that field. Maybe our guy Hunter Renfro, and then really want to see the run game get going. Dave.
I think you're right. And if Abrams is there, I don't think they get 3rd and 13 against us last week. I just really
I
don't. And I certainly hope that these linebackers can make some kind of adjustment and not give up that kind of yardage on those sort of down situations.
Yeah. That would be good call. That's yeah. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it as always. But I agree. I mean, I think they gotta if I'm the coaching staff right now, everybody's on notice. Everybody's got a foot in their backside, as Hondo would say, and it's all starts anew, so to speak. It's like, look, going over that film. They went over the film Monday. They know what they did on that specific play. And I like what and I forgot who it was on the show who said, you know, if maybe it was Hondo again, said, take if you're Paul Gunther or you're John Gruden, you take Corey Littleton into your office and you say, hey man, what's going on? What do we need to do here? What is the issue? What are you not feeling? What are you uncomfortable with? What is not working for you so that we can correct it?
Yeah, that was me.
That was you. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I knew it was somebody.
I chime in on the show every once in a while. Every once in a while.
Oh,
hey, but look,
yeah.
Denzel Ward's a player. That defensive back for the Browns, he's a player. He can get after it. So he's going to be, you know, a tough out. I don't know who he's going to match up with, but, I mean, he's going to be tough. But I will say, as far as safeties go, I mean, you have one guy in Andrew Sandejo who's a good safety, but I feel like he's seen his better years. You know what I mean? I feel like he's not really the guy he was. And then there's a guy that all of Raider Nation is very familiar with, and Carl Joseph. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know the story of Carl Joseph.
Yeah, it's well known amongst Raider Nation. But that's my point, Q, is they're not a bad defense or defensive backfield. I just think with Carr, the receiving core, and if you get the running game unhinged, they will do well against that defense.
Yeah, they could. They could.
They could.
Absolutely. That defensive line is going to be a little bit stout, again, with Myles Garrett getting after it. And, you know, that front four, they do a good job. But besides that, I mean, look, the offense is good enough where they should be able to perform and do their thing pretty much against anybody. Do they get one-dimensional at times? Yeah, maybe. But that's okay. You could do that, especially if you use some of those passing plays to get Josh Jacobs involved in it. It's only like a glorified run, you know, so you mix in those with each other. I mean, you can have a big game regardless.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday. You got to figure out how do you get – and if it's with him, you got to get Henry Ruggs more involved. I don't know what that is. Is it using him more with the end of rounds? Is it using him on shorter patterns just to get the ball in his hands? I think you just got to get a rhythm going between Derek Carr and Henry Ruggs III.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, these are your tools. These are your weapons. You got to get them. However, just like you mentioned with Jacobs, you have to get these guys involved, get them the ball. And if that means changing it up a little bit, it doesn't have to be a 20-yard route. It can be a 5-yard quick slant route and then let him see what he can do in some space. So we'll have to see if it works out that way. I think it's a good opportunity for the Raiders to get well and to get on track in so many different ways. Okay, time for a break here. When we come back, we're going to roll on. We'll get a couple more phone calls in, 702-365-9200. And then Vinny Bonsignor will also join us here. Vinny's show In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy comes up next at 4 o'clock, but we'll talk to him about practice today, what he saw, and get you some updates on some players as we head towards the game with the Cleveland Browns. You're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, welcome back, Silver and Black Today. If you're not already awake, now you are. A lot going on there, right? We're back. We're talking Raiders football. Coming up in just a second, Vinny Bonsignor, host of our own In the Huddle with Vinny, and Lincoln Kennedy is coming up here at 4 o'clock. He'll be in to talk about practice today. We've got a couple callers we want to get in here before the show is over. We're going out to Mark right here in Spring Valley. Mark, what's going on?
What's going on, Scott? Q, I got to say that the reason this Cleveland game's a must-win has to come down to the playoffs. At the end of the season, it looks like either Pittsburgh or Baltimore are obviously going to win that division.
Yep.
So playing Cleveland, we'll be playing for that playoff spot, for that wild card. It's definitely a must. That's why it's such a must win. And I eat my Pop-Tarts right out of the package.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, man. Mac, excuse me, not Mark. Mac.
You didn't even get his name right, and he was supporting you.
He was.
There you go.
You got to love it. All right, we're going out to Robert. He's down in the FLA in Florida. What's going on, Robert?
Hi, gentlemen. I have three questions, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
Okay.
Question number one, based on the games that the Raiders have played already, do you think that the Raiders are lacking an image? The Raiders have always been known to have, let's say, the mystique, the image. I personally don't think that they're having the image right now. Question number two, how long do you think that the investors that put their money into relocating the Raiders over there to Vegas, how long do you think are they going to put up with the play that the Raiders are currently having? And question number three, how long do you think Mark Davis, I know that he went all in on Gruden, that he wanted Gruden back. I understand. From my point of view, I see that Gruden is not the Gruden from the past. I see that Gruden is a little bit more conservative now, and I know that they're going with the youth movement, but he's already into year number three, and, you know, they were in the business of results. And I know that, like I said, I know that he's into the youth movement, but, you know, it's a results-driven business when it's regards to the NFL.
It is.
I thank you for your time.
All right, Robert. Yeah, so the three questions. Number one, I'm gonna qualify that as personality. You said image. And I think the Raiders still haven't found the personality. I think on the defense, it's Jonathan Abram. He hasn't been in there. I think he kind of sets the table and sets the mood. Q, you agree with that?
Yeah, I can say that. I think that he's the one alpha dog on that side of the ball, and he's still improving. He's not a polished product yet, but he's still improving. But yeah, he's definitely the image of that defense.
Right,
or wants to be the image of the defense.
He wants to be, but I agree with him overall. The team, from a personality standpoint, how are they perceived by others? I think, yeah, but you have a lot of new players, a lot of new pieces, and that takes time. Number two, investors. I'm trying to understand the question. Look, the Raiders' value of the franchise has gone up significantly since they said they were moving. Now they have the stadium. I don't think there's any concern there with folks there. And then as far as Mark Davis, the owner, he's not going anywhere. This team is 3-3. They're not 0-6.
Right. And that's kind of what my point of the Q-tip was. Like, realize – there's still a lot of football left to be played. This is not an 0-6 team. It's a 3-3 team that has plenty of still play left in 2020. Anything could happen. They go on a 4-game winning streak for all we know, and then all of a sudden the conversation is totally different. It's like, that's why I'm not just all the way in on a must-win game on Sunday, because there's so much left to be played.
Yeah,
I get the tiebreakers and stuff like that. I get all that. But you got to put together some win streaks, and right. You start right. This week, great. If you start next week, at some point you got to put some win streaks together, or you're not going to worry about the playoffs.
That's right. And look, people just want to win. I get it. It's been a long time. But this team is 3-3 through the toughest part of their schedule. I think everybody should take a deep breath. All right. We have with us today, for the first time since he's been the road dog, he's been out at restaurants, he's been out at bars, doing his remote, Vinny Bonsignor, of course, who is the beat writer for the Raiders at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also a teammate of ours here. He hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, coming up next at 4. Some good news from practice today, Vinny.
A little bit. They're headed in the right direction.
Come on, help
with
me here.
Some of the injuries. Nice to see Bryan Edwards back on the field, although it looks doubtful, according to John Gruden, for him to play on Sunday. Still working his way back from the ankle injury. Trent Brown is on target to get back on Friday.
Right.
So
he can practice Friday, correct, if he tests negative?
It looks, yeah, probably. Yeah. It depends on what hour of the day and everything like that. But I think the bottom line is he should be in line to play on Sunday. That's the big thing. They need him against Myles Garrett. This offensive line functions a lot better when Trent Brown is out there. Still waiting on Richie Incognito. Still waiting on Damon Arnett. So, but all those guys are in target, are on target to return at some point. So I'm really curious to see this team at full strength, because they need to be to make the playoff run that they want to make.
Yeah.
How crucial and critical, that's probably the better word, how critical is it to have Jonathan Abram out there? I feel like he was a major missing piece on Sunday against Tampa Bay.
He was. He hasn't been great this year, but he's still learning. He's still developing. But it's a lot better when he's out there compared to when it's Heath, and Harris. Both players have struggled, at safety this year. So, they need all hands on deck. I'm doing a trade story, trade deadline story, and safety is an area that looking at. And there's some players out there that could be available. Harrison Smith from the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. The Vikings are going nowhere fast. Would you a third round pick, a fourth round pick, to bring in Harrison Smith to be not only help solidify that position, but really be a good mentor to Jonathan, Abram. Is that something that you guys would be interested in doing?
Sure.
Sure.
Let's do it.
You seem lukewarm to that.
Anthony Harris out of Minnesota? Yeah.
Likewise, he's definitely on the list. He's not having the year that he had last year. He had 6 interceptions last year, 9 between 2018 and 2019. So definitely a turnover, a guy that creates turnovers, isn't doing that as well this year, whereas Harrison Smith is just a rock steady, safety that could bring so much to the table. But yeah, Anthony Harris, I'm sure the Raiders would be open to bringing him in as well.
We talked about Marcus May with the Jets as well, because he's on the last year of his contract,
right.
So you're not tied to a long-term contract if he comes in. So there's some intriguing names. I think that's what Gruden was kind of alluding to today was the Quinn and Williams stuff we talk about, but really the more realistic stuff might be something. That,
so J.J. Watt, no?
J.J. Watt.
I'd rather talk
about J.J. Watt.
If I'm going to give up a draft pick, though, I'd rather have a guy that I know is going to be around for a year or two instead of just a rental for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and guys like Harrison Smith would still be around. It would be your choice, though. Even Geno Atkins, he's on the list, and he's got
Malik Collins?
He's
Geno Atkins.
He's got 2 years left on his contract, but it's not guaranteed. guaranteed. So you could walk away if it doesn't work out. But at the same point, he is still, you know, there is a contract that if you do like what you see, you could just keep him for the next couple of years. And a guy like Geno Atkins is still, you know, a force in the interior of the defense and somebody that I think would help the entire unit just elevate everybody's game. So, you know, there are some intriguing players out there. Stephon Gilmore, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody made the Patriots an offer that was enticing enough to pry him away from New England. We heard that he was being shopped during the offseason, didn't get the kind of offers that they wanted. But now at this point, and if you're the Raiders, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but you know, Gilmore's a guy that can play slot, which has been a real problem area for the Raiders this year. Kind of like what Jalen Ramsey is doing with the Rams.
Yeah.
He's a premier cornerback, and you automatically think of those guys on the outside, which they can do that. But if you need somebody right now on the inside, Gilmore is a guy that can lock that down at a high level.
What about Q's point he always makes, which is if the Patriots and Belichick are trying to get rid of a guy, there's something going on there.
Well, like, it's because he's looking to the future. And, you know, but the Raiders are looking right now.
The push.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of times that's just how open is your window? Mm-hmm. And for the New England Patriots, they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be next year, let alone, you know, what else, you know, so they could be looking at ways just to, hey, we are where we are. What are they, 2-3 right now?
Yeah.
Still got some question marks at quarterback. Cam Newton got benched. It looks like he's going to get another shot. But is he the long-range answer in New England? I mean, I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, we were saying, yeah, he's the MVP. And I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah,
it's a couple weeks into the season.
I know.
No.
So, Vinny, when we talk about the Raiders, too, we heard Coach Gruden, and we played the clip earlier on our show, saying, look, he's going to change some scheme of setups on defense, and they're looking at personnel. Up front is what we've been focusing a lot on. What might we see up front? Might we see a Dayton Jones come off the practice squad and get some playing times? Are we going to see Carl Nassib play more? He played a lot against Tampa Bay, seemed to do better. What are we going to see?
Well, I'm wondering if, you know, to help things and to get the best four out there. That's you know, when he said that, when John Gruden said that on Monday, my ears perked up. Because the best four, if you're really thinking about it, might mean Farrell moving inside. You know, where he could take advantage of his skills. And he's playing well. He's not playing flashy well. You know, and I know everyone's like, well, when you get the fourth pick of the draft, you have to get, you know, well, sometimes you're just a victim of what the talent level is at that point in the draft. Sometimes there's premier players at number four. Sometimes there's a guy like Clee Farrell, who's a good, solid player and probably will be a good, solid player for a lot of years. But he might not be that superstar player. That's not, you know, so I hear what people are saying. At number four, you have to. It doesn't always work out that way. And I know that I've heard Josh Allen, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't done much either. I mean, I think he's got one sack this year. Yeah. I had to look at the stats again. So it's not like, you know, he would have been this instant star, gonna game changer type of player. The game changer type of player was Nick Bosa, and the Raiders didn't have the number two pick in the draft last year or 2019. That's the guy they probably really wanted, obviously. But the way the draft fell, the way their placement fell, that was out of reach for them. So, you know, but again, to hold the fourth pick over Clee Farrell as if, you know, if you aren't performing like a number four pick overall, then you're kind of worthless. I don't agree with that at all.
Well, so we'll see. We're all digesting.
And on that note.
Vinny. and I think, too, if Trent Brown does – he's on target to get back Friday. They got to throw him in there on Sunday. He's going to play.
He's not played. What has he played? One game?
One full game.
You're not going to be messing around I don't know if you're ready or not. You just made these other guys wait until Sunday to wake up and go play a football game. Trent Brown, you're out there playing okay.
To me, we also, the last couple of days, talked about the running game for the Raiders because I know some people want to focus just on Josh Jacobs, and that's part of it.
Yeah.
But it's also that offensive line hasn't played played together. They played the entire line. Has played together for three snaps. That was Trent Brown's first three snaps. Then he was out. Then Richie went out. So they've not had that. How much of the running game situation and their inability to unhinge it is on that line?
Well, I go back to when I was covering the Rams. The first season in L.A., Todd Gurley had a bad year. It was a sophomore jinx. He wasn't He wasn't what everyone cracked. You know, said he was cracked up to be. No, the offensive line was horrible and way worse than this than the Raider offensive line. The Raider offensive line has been decent, but they're not great because they haven't had their players in there. So you give Josh Jacobs, Trent Brown, and Richie Incognito for 10 games, I guarantee you his numbers are going to get better because that's what those guys add to his game. So, yeah, I would focus more on the offensive line than Josh Jacobs in terms of what's going on with Josh Jacobs.
Is it one of those scenarios, Vinny, where throughout the season, it might just be you're going to go as far as his offense could take you?
Well, yeah, it definitely has to be that. And because they're not going to in season transform into a great defense this year. It's just not going to happen. You know, what you hope is that they just get a little bit better. It doesn't even have to be a lot better. It just needs to be, you know, just get a few more stops at key moments like that 3rd and 13. We keep harping on that, but that's the type of play you have to make. I don't care what level of defense you are. You can't give that up right there with the game still hanging in the balance. And if they do make that stop, we might be talking about a completely different situation today than we are now because they didn't make it. They gave up 14 yards in a first down and gave Tom Brady a new set of downs to go score a touchdown. So that's how the Raiders need to improve defensively this year because that's really all you're going to be able to do.
Well, and one more thing on Jacobs, because Q talked about it earlier, and that is getting him more involved in the offense. If you can't run the ball, and they've done a better job of getting him involved in the passing game, but it seemed like that fell off again. You think they're going to be focused on that going forward, too? Just get him in the ball. Same with Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, exactly. I think Henry Ruggs needs to get more touches. Yeah. They need to figure out ways to do that. They gave him the ball in the fly sweep, and he gained 9-10 yards, if I remember correctly, did well in that. So I think you need to see more of that. And if it's not happening in the run game, then throw it to him. Get him some open space where he could do his thing. And those are all ways that, you know, I'm sure John Gruden and the offensive staff are thinking about things. But again, as Q said, you're only going to go as far as this offense, basically. And part of a good what this offense can also do is help the defense. Just keep the other team on the sideline, their offense for as long as possible, and run the ball. And that's why getting Incognito and getting Trent Brown back for a long period of time is going to help the whole operation because you're going to be able to theoretically have some more of those longer drives that eat up clock, run the ball successfully, and keep Tom Brady and whatever the quarterback you're playing on the sidelines longer than not.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And we got about 30 seconds left, so I'm going to ask you a quick wild card, and that is Foster Moreau. What's up with Foster Moreau?
I don't know. They obviously like Jason Witten. He brings a lot to the table in terms of understanding the offense, where to be, how to blocking, all of those things. So I'm not,
He's comfortable.
And tight end is a hard position, believe it or not.
That's what I'm saying. Are they just maybe comfortable letting him develop?
Yeah. I look at guys like Tyler Higbee with the Rams, who people are like, what's going on with Tyler Higbee? Then, all of a sudden, he's a really good tight end. Huge, Gerald Everett, too. It just, for whatever reason, there's only very few George Kittles and guys like that.
Makes sense.
Other tight ends take a little longer.
Makes sense. All right, Vinny Bonsignore, thanks very much. He's coming up next with Lincoln Kennedy. Q, have a good night, buddy.
All right, you guys be good. Vinny, have a great show.
All right, thanks, Q.
All right, for Q Myers, I'm Scott Colbranson and Bobby Machado, the master behind the board. This has been the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. In the Huddle, Vinny and Lincoln coming up next. Don't go anywhere.